talking about life and the pictures of life. How does one view his life? The way you view your life could make a great difference in what you do with it. Obviously, we noticed that James says there were those merchants who were going and they were trying to go and see if they could buy, sell, and get gain, and they were going to do some things for that year. And James says, you know, we also notice that they did not factor God into those plans. And James says, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanisheth away. So James was kind of showing them a picture, an image of life to show you just how brief it is. And so we talked about yesterday life pictured as a gift. And when you picture your life as a gift, then you know that it is something precious. It is something that you must appreciate. Not only do we appreciate the gift in and of itself, but we also appreciate the one who actually has given the gift. And when an individual throws away their lives, that is not very appreciative before the God of heaven. And so it's all about how you see certain things. So how do you picture life? If you picture life as a gift, then I believe you'll do good things with your life, and you won't throw it away. You'll appreciate the one who gave it. If you picture life as a journey, then you know you're heading somewhere. You're going somewhere. So this morning, let's talk about life as a journey. Where are you headed? You know, if you were asked that question to many people, they'd have to tell you they don't know. As we think about moving through this life and moving to the next life, and if you were to ask people, where are you going in life? People would have to say, I don't know. Nowhere in particular. So, question to you this morning is, where are you headed on your journey through life? Do you have a destination? One must prepare for the journey. We must have a destination. Paul had a destination in mind. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 19. Paul had a destination in mind, and it wasn't here in this life and on this earth. As Paul thought about his life in Christ, notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 19. How does that read, Brother Mark?
If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable.
So Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. So I think Paul had something else beyond this life in mind. He had a destination. He was looking for something. And many folks of faith, many great, wonderful people of faith, had a destination in mind. In Hebrews 13, 14, the Bible says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. When you take this journey, there are some things that you're going to need for preparation. There are some things you're going to need as you take this journey in life. Now, as you take a journey, you think about a journey that we might take. My wife and I took a journey and we came here. Can you think of some things you might need in preparation for a journey as you get ready to travel, you're going on vacation or something like that? Are there some things that you think about that you might need?
Maybe a map.
A map? Okay, you got to know where you're going. And so you might need a map. Map is going to kind of map out those directions so that you'll know exactly where you're going, because you don't want to get lost, do you? No. Okay, what else? Okay, so you need a destination. So we have a destination and we have a map. Okay, now I call it our navigational system. So we need a navigational, yes, sir.
Need
a GPS, all right. So we need a GPS, we need a navigational system, right? We got to find out where we're going. We have to make sure we get there. And we have to know exactly what route to take to make sure we arrive at our destination safely. Now I call that on our journey through life, faith. Faith becomes our navigational system. In 2 Corinthians 5, 7, Paul says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Okay, when it comes to this spiritual navigation or this journey through life, we have to do it by faith, because where we're going cannot be seen with the naked eye. Now, while we're in that particular portion of scripture, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's notice, beginning at verse number 16.
For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Now, move right on down into chapter 5 and notice what he says.
For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight.
For we walk by faith and not by sight. So you pick up on what Paul is saying there. We are not looking on things that can be seen with the naked eye. When you're taking this journey, you have to be able to journey by faith. Faith has to be your navigational system. If you and I don't have faith to navigate for us throughout this life, how are we going to get to our destination? You see, you will never reach a destination, which is heaven. Obviously, we'll never reach that city if we do not have faith. So as we are journeying, it's important that as we look at life as a journey, that we have the navigational system in order for us to get there. A man without faith can never reach the shores of heaven. That is how we're going to get there. That's what's going to direct us. And it's going to take us to see things by the eyes of faith as opposed to the naked eye. So you just think about all of those folks that are trying to navigate through our life, and they're trying to do it with physical eyesight. But they don't have proper faith in God. You see, when you have faith in God, then that means that you're going to have to obviously trust him. There is obviously an intellectual component to faith, isn't it? But there's also an emotional component to faith. Obviously, we're going to have to learn to trust God. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he would direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Now, if you notice that those who had walked by faith in the past, they had a trust in God. They trusted God to get them to their destination. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. A navigational system is not new. It's the same navigational system folk been using for a long time. Moses had a navigational system. Hebrews 11, and notice verse number 27. He saw through the eye of faith. How does that read? By faith, he forsook Egypt. Once again, how did he navigate? He navigated by the eyes of faith. But not only did Moses have a navigational system, Abraham had one. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and notice verse number 8.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went.
Now, how did he do that? How did Abraham go not knowing whither he went? He had faith. And that faith allowed him to trust God for his destination. Could that be said of us? Did you have your hand? Absolutely. So obviously this kind of faith implies obedience, right? Because he actually did what God required. And so when we're talking about faith, we absolutely mean that you're having to obey God. Otherwise, it's not faith. It's something else. And so there must be an obedient component to faith in order for us to actually accomplish what God requires. And so if we're going to reach our destination, we have to have trust in God. And we have to be willing to do what he says. And so we find that he was able to go and endure because he saw him who was invisible as far as Moses is concerned. But then he also went out not knowing whither he went. Abraham did. Notice verse number 9.
By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise.
By faith he sojourned. How about verse 10?
For he looked for a city which hath foundation.
There's his destination, right? Looked for a city which hath foundation. Who's what? Builder. Builder and maker is God. Now drop down to verse number 13 through 16.
These these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off.
How did they see them afar off?
By faith.
Which means God had to reveal something to them, and they trusted God for it. Isn't that what made Abraham so special? Genesis chapter 15, verse number 6. And Abraham believed God, and the Bible says, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So God actually then accounted the fact that Abraham believed him, even when nothing else was required of him, but he believed God, and God then put it to his account for righteousness. Now, later on in Genesis 22, when God would say, offer your son, he actually was willing to go offer his son. So once God required something else of him, he proved then that he was righteous, and God had accounted it to, given it to his account. And so when it comes to this faith, then it means that we not only trust God, but we're willing to do exactly what God says. And this, yes, ma'am. You said in the back of his mind he knew what?
He went to the back, right?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, ma'am. The Bible reveals that Abraham knew that even if he slew his son, that God would raise him again. And so he had that faith in God because God had promised him something concerning his son. Our hope is a new and eternal life. That's our hope. You remember the conversation that Jesus has with the disciples in John 14 and verse number 1, when he says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. He said, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, Jesus gave them hope. He gave them something to expect. He gave them something to look forward to. And that same hope is that same hope that we have today, that destination of heaven to be with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the redeemed for all ages. Well, our hope is eternal life. And so not only do we have to have our navigational system to make sure we reach our destination, to actually know where we're going, but we also, as we're getting ready for this journey, we have to fill up. I remember when I was getting ready to go, my wife said, have you filled up yet? That's what she wanted to know about the car. Had you filled up? We were going to leave that morning, but I filled up that evening. And so when we get ready to take our journey, we have to fill up. You're not going to get very far if you don't fill up. Well, in this Christian life, as you navigate through this life and as you're trying to reach your destination, you're going to have enough fuel to actually reach your destination. Well, answer this question. Whoever tries to go on a long journey without filling up first? You ever met anyone like that? Have you ever tried that? Have you ever tried to reach a destination but you did not fill up before you left? Do you expect to get very far? No, you don't expect to get very far if you don't fill up. And so we need to fill up. But what do you fill up with? How about we fill up with the Spirit? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. And verse number 18. This is a long journey. And I mean, this journey can last sometimes. I mean, you're on this journey. You can be on this journey for 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. That's a long time to be journeying, isn't it? Some of us may be over halfway there now. Some of us may be a little closer. I don't know how old you all are. You know how old you are. And you know that, hey, we've been journeying for a while, even up to this point. How many of you have been journeying for 30 and 40 and 50 years? Yeah, we got some 30, 40, 50 year journeyers, right? How long you been in Christ? Anybody been in Christ for 50 years here? You've been in Christ for 50 years. 50 years. That's a long time to be journeying, isn't it? Now, in order for you to reach your destination, you've been journeying for 50 years, you've got to keep filling up. And you've got to stay filled up. Otherwise, you're going to run out of gas. Now, how many of us been journeying for 20 to 30 years? Okay, got some 20, 30-year journeyers. Well, you know you have to keep filling up. Now, I don't know how much further we have to go. If you've been journeying for 30 years, you could have another 20 years to go. And you need to make sure you stay filled up, because if you don't, you're going to run out of gas. And boy, isn't that sad to think that you can journey for so long and get right there to the end and run out of gas before you get to your destination? Wouldn't that be something? Isn't that a great inconvenience? Well, we have to fill up with a few things to make sure that we have enough to get where we're going. In Ephesians 5, verse number 18, here's something of which we should fill up. How does it read?
And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but then in contrast to that, he says, but be ye filled with the Spirit. How far you think you're going to go if you don't have the Spirit? If you're not filled with the Spirit. Now, once again, when you say that nowadays, you have to be very careful, because people have all kinds of fanciful ideas what it means to be filled with the Spirit. We kind of hit on some of that the other night there with the fruit of the Spirit and walking after the Spirit. And so in connection with all of that, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Or rather, how are we going to be filled with the Spirit?
Let the word of Christ
develop. Okay. So we're going to have to fill up on the Spirit's fuel, we'd say. The Spirit actually inspired men to give us the Word of God. And so then we are going to have to fill up on all the doctrine of the Spirit and what the Spirit has revealed. We're going to have to take those things that the Spirit has given and has revealed to us, and we're going to have to take that, and we're going to have to fill up with it. And when we fill up with the Word of the Spirit, then we're filling up with the Spirit, aren't we? Absolutely. And so we need to be filled with the Spirit. Not only that, we need to fill up with something else. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 19. Let me show you something else you need to fill up with. How does that read?
And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God.
So now we need to fill up with all of the goodness, the fullness of God. Think about all of those wonderful spiritual blessings that God has given us that are summed up in Christ. We need to make sure that we fill up with all of the fullness of God. Isn't that something to actually be able to go through this life and to feel like you have a good comprehensive knowledge and that you are filled up with all that is summed up in Christ, all of those wonderful spiritual blessings that he has given unto us, that we have in Christ Jesus? To fill up with those are going to help us along this journey, right? Well, not only that, we need to fill up with knowledge. Look at Romans chapter 15 and verse number 14. Go ahead.
And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another.
So there's a couple of things he said. We are filled with what? Goodness. And we are filled up with all what? Knowledge. So once again, that comprehensive view of Christ, or the full scope of Christianity, that full scope of truth that we have, if we can fill up with that, then we are also able to instruct others. Now, have you ever seen someone who was lost? They looked lost. You may have gone into a department store and someone comes in and they ask you, or someone works there and they ask you, they say, hey, are you looking for something? Do you need some help? And it's probably because you're looking around and you kind of look lost. And someone will come and offer you help in order to help you find out where you're supposed to be going. And you've seen people pull into gas stations. You've ever had to pull in a gas station and ask for directions? I know many women have said that their husband would just continue to get them lost before they'll ask for directions. You know men like that? Yeah, probably met one, probably married to one, right? We're all the same. We just want to find our way. We're lost for 45 minutes. We're going in the wrong direction. And the wife keeps saying, can you pull over to the gas station and ask for directions? Oh, boy, I'm sure you all are glad that we have technology now to stop us from being lost. But we're going to find our way. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. While you're on this journey, you are going to encounter people who are lost. They don't know where they're going. They don't know how to get there. They are wandering aimlessly, and they're going to come across you while you're on your journey. And there are going to be two things you need in order to help those folks find out where they're supposed to be going. You're going to need to be filled with goodness so that you are willing to help. You see a person's lost, and you grab that person, and you say, hey, you look like you're lost. Where are you trying to go? Where are you heading? Let me point you in the right direction. That we do with the gospel, don't we? So while we're along this journey, we find those people who are walking or they are driving, they're aimlessly, not knowing whether they go. We grab those people and we tell them, look, here's the way. Go this way. Go down this road. Follow this path. And that'll lead you where you're trying to go. We're able to give them directions because we have fullness of knowledge. So if we're full of goodness, we're willing to help. That's the goodness that's in us. You have to be filled with goodness in order to have the compassion you need to see one who is lost and care enough to point them in the right direction. But you also have to be filled with knowledge, a good comprehensive view of God and the scope of Christ and all that he is and the gospel. If you're full of that knowledge, you are able to you're not only willing to help, but you're able to help. You're able to direct those folks to their particular destination. Isn't that something on this journey of life? That we're able and we're willing. And the only reason is because we're filled with goodness and we're filled with knowledge. Yes? That's right. Yes, sir. That's right. That's absolutely correct. And thus the reason why we have to be filled with goodness. Now, what if your tank is empty on goodness? Probably not going to help, right? Probably not going to help. But if you're filled with goodness, got to fill up for this journey. Because if I'm filled with goodness, I'm willing and I'm compassionate enough to see someone who is lost, take time out of my schedule to stop what I'm doing, to maybe just stop long enough to go over and say, hey, are you lost? He said, well, yes, I don't know. I don't know my way. Well, let me show you. And because of your goodness and because of your knowledge, you're able to direct them on their path and their journey to. People don't know, I'm sorry. and we've seen those navigational systems send you to the wrong place from time to time too, haven't we? And that's why I'm glad that in this journey of life toward heaven, we got one that's foolproof. That's faith. Faith will get us there every time. You know, we don't have to worry about that breaking down because that comes from God. So it's a perfect device to get us to where we're going in heaven. Now, there's something else you need to fill up with on this journey that's very important. It's found in Romans 15 and verse number 13. You better fill up with this, because this is a long ride. You're going to need it. How does it read, Mark?
Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Now what did he say he's going to fill you with?
Joy.
Joy. Joy. Wow. You'll need it. You know why you'll need it? Because there's some difficulty along the way on this journey. Now you can, well, let me ask you this. Have you ever got ready to take that long ride and you knew it was going to be a 12 to 14 hour drive? And boy, I tell you what, sometimes you really have to get your mind prepared for such a journey. And you as you think about this journey, you realize it's going to be difficult. I mean, you've ever sat in that car and been cramped up and felt like, wow, when are we going to get there? It's just taking forever. And sometimes while you know, especially if you're sitting on the passenger seat, my wife does that a lot. She sits on the passenger side. And when you're sitting on the passenger side, sometimes I've seen her try to get comfortable, and she just can't get comfortable. She'll carry a pillow with her, and she'll just be working with that thing. It's hard to get comfortable. And sometimes she's cold or she'll have a little blanket or something like that. Now, I'm over here driving and we're discussing who's going to drive. You're going to help or, you know, do you want to drive? I mean, it's just a long journey and it's tough. It's difficult. And while you're on this journey, you're cramped up. We have to stop every so many hours, you know, and let the blood flow to the legs. And you know, I read somewhere that when you're taking a long trip, that you ought to stop every 2 hours anyway. And so we took that to heart, stop every 2 hours and then just walk around for a few moments and just kind of keep the blood flowing. Well, sometimes along this journey, it can be very difficult and very uncomfortable. Now, you can do one or two things. You can either continue to dread this trip and just be miserable all the way, or you can try to find some joy in the trip and try to find some things that you can kind of set your mind on that just kind of helps you as you're going on this journey. So we choose to kind of look at it as a wonderful road trip. Oh, we can't wait. And we try to psych ourselves out. Oh, can't wait to get on this road trip. Oh, this is going to be a nice trip. And we stop in different cities and different states, and we'll go to their malls or whatever. We just try to have a good time. We try to make it a joyful experience. Imagine that in terms of the Christian life, journeying through life. It can be a miserable experience. You want to know how miserable it can be? Open your Bibles. I'll show you. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'll show you just how miserable it can be. Wisest man. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Read verse number 1, if you will.
Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them.
Mm-hmm. Keep on reading.
While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, and the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened.
What are the grinders that cease because they are few? Those are your teeth, right? You know what Solomon is saying? You know what Solomon is depicting? He's depicting old age, growing old. Now, what Solomon is showing us is that that is a very miserable experience if you don't have something. If you lack something, this is no fun. You know, and so the keepers of the house might be your arms and all those kind of things that's able to protect you and all that kind of stuff. Those things become feeble over time. You know, we become very afraid as people get older of falling. I was watching one of the little kids the other day. We were back in the annex there and getting ready to eat there Sunday. And he looked at me and he was just standing there and then he just fell straight back. And he managed not to hit his head, but it scared me. And I said, oh boy, you're going to give me a heart attack, you know. And he just fell straight back, and he kept doing it. I said, if I fell like that, I wouldn't get up for a week. Just fall straight back like that. Now, I'm not that old, but I know I can't fall that way and expect to get up the same way I went down. And some of you are older than I am. You know you can't afford to fall that way. But these children, they can just fall and just. But when you start to get old, a lot of things start to happen. And it's not necessarily a pretty picture. There's only one thing that helps us in this process of getting old. Keep reading, if you will.
And the doors shall be shut in the streets. Wait, hold on. Yes. When the sound of the grinding is low, and you shall rise.
Or wait, no longer can you masticate that food like you used to. You start sucking on stuff then after a while, don't you? You hear the young folks, they crunching everything, and then all of a sudden, you're no longer crunching on food as much as you are, you know, kind of, I got some elderly people in here that are looking at me kind of funny, trying to be careful. But Solomon is actually writing this. But the lips began to close down, and then the grinding becomes low. You don't hear all of that crunching as we masticate the food the way we used to. Not the same as you're getting older. Keep reading.
And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low.
Sleep tends to run away from you, don't it? I mean, wake up just like that over any little thing, any little sound. Hard to sleep. Don't sleep as well as you remember when you can sleep 12 hours, 10 hours, and all that kind of thing? hard to do that anymore. Now you get those little cat naps, and then you back up, and you're lucky if you get that, you know. But it's very difficult to get that long, deep sleep. Very difficult. Keep reading.
Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high.
What you say? Afraid of heights, aren't we? We want to get a ranch-style house now. I want to be going up all those stairs and all those kind of things. Why? Because we have a fear of falling. And so we don't like going up. You know, it could be a very small little incline, but I tell you what, it becomes very difficult to go up those inclines, so we'd rather not. Like to stay on flat and level ground. Keep reading.
And fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish.
Afraid of everything. Sometimes the smallest things frighten you. Sometimes folk don't even want to go out. People start saying, I can't drive at night. Why? Because the windows are closing. Can't see very well. Solomon is depicting all of this. Getting old. Keep reading.
And the grasshopper shall be a burden.
Wait, I heard something about blossoms or something like that. Back up just a
little. The almond tree shall flourish.
What does the almond tree do? When it flourishes, it turns what? It turns white. JC. Look at JC. That's JC right there. You know, it turns white. In other words, getting older. Now, I would never say JC's old. That's a relative term. I don't know what old is, but I know JC has gotten a little older. Just a little older. And so this is what's going on. This is what Solomon is depicting. Keep reading.
The grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about in the street.
The mourners go about in the street. Wow. And he mentions the grasshoppers. Notice something else. Keep reading there. Let me connect something here. So basically, he has man pictured as, when he starts talking about the grasshopper and all that, really what he's saying is that man starts to basically drag his limbs. They're no longer as vibrant as they used to be, and he begins to drag his limbs right on to the grave. Just a matter of time. Boy, you used to be able to get those legs going and just get to moving, and now you're pictured as basically just slowly moving toward the grave. Dragging those limbs. They just don't work the way they used to. And eventually, that soul and that spirit, that soul and that body makes a separation forever, the silver cord be loose. So eventually, what ends up happening is we end up body and soul separating, and then death. Now, Solomon then pictures this as getting old, and it is not a pretty picture as you journey through life getting old. But there is one thing that helps us with this process. And what do you think that is? All right. It is, in other words, if you don't have Christ, if you're not navigating through this journey with Christ, getting old can be a miserable depiction. So we talk about growing old gracefully because we know our destination, because we know how we're getting there, because we filled up with everything that we need in order to complete the journey. So in the process, we have found a way to find the joy that we need, even in the midst of what the world would consider a miserable situation. Because they have nothing else to look forward to. What point is it if you have nothing else to look forward to in life and you're going toward your grave and you know it, but there's nothing beyond this life? What a miserable thing to have to go through. No wonder the world says only the good die young, right? They should say that, because getting old would be miserable if you don't have nothing else to look forward to. And that's obviously what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 15. For if only in this life we have hope in Christ, then we are all men most miserable. Why am I suffering all of these things? Why am I dealing with this persecution? Why do I have to deal with the process of getting old and going through all of this if there's nothing else to look forward to? So the joy that we take on our journey, even though it's going to be difficult, and even though we have to go through these changes, and even though our bodies become feeble, and our eyes begin to become dim, and even though our teeth begin to go away, and all these kind of things, and our limbs begin very difficult to move around, and all that kind of stuff. We're afraid of heights. We're afraid of going outside. We're afraid of the dark. All these kind of things. We can't hardly sleep. Even though we're going through this process, my friends, when you go through this process with God, you can actually have joy in the midst of it.
Yeah,
right. Yes, sir.
Body will get older and mature slowly. We're maturing slowly. But the thing is, the spirit is renewed day by day. The spirit is energized by your age. You learn more. You have more exuberant about God, Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Paul said, though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. That's absolutely right. That is what we have to look forward to as we navigate through this difficulty called life. Well, while you're on this journey, something else you need to be able to stay alert. Because as you're traveling, it can be dangerous. How many of you like to drive on a highway at 70 miles per hour at night? Probably don't like that at this point, do you? You like day driving? You rather day driving? Yeah, I mean, I feel that way. I used to get in the car all the time, and middle of the night, let's go. You know, it didn't matter. And just not so long ago, I started, not only did my eyes get bad, I have contacts in, because if I take them out, you're going to disappear. But not only did my eyes get bad, but also I started thinking about the dangers. And it doesn't take you very long before you see a group of deer gathered up along the highway, or you just missed one a couple times running across in front of you, that you realize how quickly, you know, this can go in the wrong direction. And so you start wanting to do the best you can to make sure you have as much daylight as possible, and you want to be safe because there's a lot of dangers out there. Well, as we're walking in, as we're journeying in this Christian life, there are some dangers out there to be concerned about. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. How does that read? All right. So, hey, when you're driving in a literal sense, we're driving our cars, we have to be concerned about drunk drivers and all those kind of things. There's a lot of dangers out there. And now we really have to be careful, because now it's not just the drunk drivers you have to be concerned about. It's those young folks texting while they're driving that we have to be concerned about. My son and I, Anthony, we pulled up to a light, and there was a lady, she was over in the next lane there, and she was at a light. And there was a guy, he just came right in, I mean, plowed right into the back of her because he was texting. And he obviously looked down a little too long, and she was just sitting still at a light. And I mean, he just plowed right into her without ever hitting his brakes. And we were sitting there witnessing this. Anthony said, "Dad, he was texting." And he knocked himself out. I mean, he was asleep. He was just, and we saw him start doing this, and he kind of came to. And both people were all right, but he was texting. And I was just thinking, what if there had been someone on a motorcycle at that light in front of him? You know, thankfully he didn't kill her. I don't know how bad she was hurt, but she seemed to be okay. But just think if there had been someone on a motorcycle, he'd have most likely killed him. And I've been on the highway and blown my horn at people because we're going down the road and the cars are kind of stacking up behind us. And then when I finally get on and I pass and I'm looking, there's this lady doing like this. And so I'm blowing my horn at him like, stop that. Would you stop that? You know, and then all of a sudden they kind of like come to and start pulling up. It's like, wow. There's a lot of dangers out there. Just when we're driving up and down the streets, we have to be careful of those people who are not paying attention to what they're doing and putting us all in a great deal of danger. Well, we have an adversary that would love to keep us in danger. And so Peter says we have to be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
Yeah, Greg.
Yes, sir. Wow. And now marijuana, you say, is legal as well?
Legal in Colorado.
Just more problems to contend with, huh? Peter said, watch out for anything that will knock you out or that will hurt you during your journey. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 11. Peter says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from all fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And so when we think about abstaining from all fleshly lusts which war against the soul, you think about that and you realize that really what you should be doing is to make sure that you don't imbibe anything that's not in the best interest of your soul. So a lot of times when people try to figure out, well, what should I do or what shouldn't I do, just ask yourself this: is it in the best interest of your soul? Will it allow for you to be sober? Will it allow for you to stay on the path and not deviate? So Peter's saying anything that takes you away, you need to be careful. Yes, sir.
A lot of times on, you know, different places, they'll have sobriety checkpoints.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of being sober is more than just abstaining from alcohol. It's to be, not to have fuzzy thinking either.
Yes, sir.
But we need to do that in the journey of life, too. We need to have some sobriety checkpoints. You know, is this the best for my soul? It, you know, is this what God wants
yes,
me to do? You know, because if we're not careful, we can start, pursuing things that aren't right. So we have to be vigilant that way.
Absolutely. And you think about Peter saying fleshly lust, and you think about all of the things that Paul described in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, with the works of the flesh and all those kind of things. And he said those things are manifest. And you can imagine when people are imbibing these kind of things, it's kind of like you can go through life kind of drunken, can't you? You can go through life in an idolatrous fashion where you're kind of pledging your allegiance to everything else but God and all these kind of things. So people go through life this way, and it's sad. It's sad because it's not going to end up in anything that is good. So Peter calls on those Christians. He said, abstain. Don't mess with the stuff in any degree. You know, when people say, can I drink a little? I'm like, well, 1 Peter 2:11, abstain. You know what abstain mean? Abstain from all fleshly lusts which war against the soul. It's not in the best interest of your soul, so don't do it as you go through this journey of life. This journey always begins and ends the same way. It starts with birth, and it ends with death. In Job 14, 1 through 2, Job says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Cometh forth as a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, he says, and continueth not. Ecclesiastes 3:2, there is a time to be born and a time to die. And so this always starts the same way, and it always ends the same way. Death. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. How many of you think you're going to come back as a butterfly? You hear people in the world saying, oh, when I come back in my reincarnation, I'd love to be this. I said, read Hebrews 9:27. There is an after this, but after this is the judgment. You don't get to come back this way again. So it always begins and ends the same way. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 8. How does that read?
There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it.
Starts with birth, ends with death. It is unavoidable. That's how we all start our journey, and that's how we all going to end our journey. Yet there are many different paths from the cradle to the grave. We start with nothing, and we end with nothing. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 7, he said, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out." Now, how we take this journey is left up to us. You get to choose how you're going to journey. You hear in ancient times, they would say journey well. When they were getting ready to die and all that kind of thing, they say journey well. Well, you know, in this life, you get to determine how you're going to journey. But just know there is a witness. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. And notice verse number 19.
Yes. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live.
Now, that's what Moses obviously said to the children of Israel. I call heaven and earth to record against you this day. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then he said, therefore, choose life, so that thou and thy seed may live. What do you choose as your journeying through this life? You see, the choice is actually yours. You could choose that proper navigation to prepare for that journey and make sure you have the proper navigation. That navigation is faith. Always has been, always will be. That navigation has not changed. Our GPS is the faith in God. You could choose to fill up. But what do you fill up with? That's your choice. Some people fill up with a whole lot of foolishness on their journey, and it does not turn out very well. Yes, sir.
In the book of Job, again, in chapter 16, verse 32, it says, "Though thou wouldest destroy me, yet shall I not be destroyed."
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. As you're journeying, you do well to take the high road. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 17. Let's note that. How does that read?
"And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's word, pass the time of your sojourning here in
Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." We need to make sure we take the high road. We call on God as our Father. Then we need to make sure as we are journeying and sojourning here that we do it in fear, that we do it in respect of our Father, which is in heaven. And not only that, we can only take this journey one time. You remember in 2 Samuel 12:13, David recognized that he could not bring back his child when his child died. And David said that he could not bring his child back, but he could go to his child at some point. So David was looking forward to, at one point, being reunited with his child in heaven. And so he says, he cannot come back to me, but I can go to him. And so we only get an opportunity to take this journey one time. I believe we better journey well. What about you? This is where you go like this. We need to journey well. Now, any questions or comments that you have as far as journeying through this life, navigating? Yes, sir.
Paul said about holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So the Apostle Paul was certainly one who understood his journey and how to journey. A wonderful example. 2 Corinthians 11 or verse number 1, "Brethren, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ." So Paul was one that we could actually imitate, right? And you know, that's what's interesting is sometimes we have traveled with other folks, you know, where we trail each other. And I know we've done that on a couple of occasions where we'll have two or three cars, you know, we're all going to the same destination and we'll just follow each other and we'll stop when each other stop and we just have a wonderful time. And someone's out front leading the way. You know, you have to make sure you have a responsible person that does not speed and all those kind of things, you know, and we take that journey together. And that's kind of the way it is in Christianity, that we're actually journeying together. So someone has to be responsible enough to say, hey, I can lead the way. You all follow me. And you're making sure you're watching out. You know, you don't just jump over and don't give everybody else time to get over and all those kind of things. But you're doing it in a way that allows people to follow you and you feel safe. And you also you have some support. Should anything go wrong with your car, isn't it good when you have someone else trailing with you and they can pull over and we can have the help that we need to get to where we're going? So all of those things, we can show all those imagery, all that imagery, even in this journey through the Christian life. Any others that you might have? You see, you can add to this as you consider the metaphor of journeying through life. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's very good. I like that. Yes, sir. Well, we're about out of time, so if anyone else has anything to add or any questions? Yes, no, maybe so? Okay. I believe we're good. Brother Mark.
Amen.